Message today is called The Holy Spirit in You. Praise God. And it's kind of a big thing to bite off. The Holy Spirit is God. So it's like, who am I to talk about God? What do I know? I don't really know much. However, I do read the Bible, and I will pass on to you words from there. And I will pass on to you my perceptions. Now, you're different. So, first of all, God is infinite, and I'm finite, so I'll do a very poor job at describing the Holy Spirit. Let it be known. None of us can describe God. He's great, and we'll go into more of that. But I want to talk about specifically who he is regarding our relationship with him. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is quite the controversial topic. I think as Christians, when you look across churches, you'll find many Christian churches believe in God, praise God, and believe in Jesus, and that God sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, because he loves us, because he wants to save us. So we have an understanding of God, we have an understanding of Jesus, because we read the Bible and can read the story about Jesus' ministry for 3 years as he walked on this earth and raised up disciples and went to the cross for us magnificently, beyond any expectations we could ever have. So we have an understanding, we'll say, sort of God and Jesus. Again, they're infinite and we're finite. So again, our understanding is pretty limited. But nevertheless, that's where most of our faith resides, at least for me. However, there's a third. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is seen differently by different people, pretty dramatically. I think God and Jesus, I think we have a pretty similar lock on from church to church, but I think the Holy Spirit is where the big variable is. And most of you are aware of that. I'll just list some of the main attitudes. When you hear me say the term Holy Spirit, you might think I might just go off on some charismatic rampage, and that some of you would be blessed by that, and some of you would be offended by that. Others think of other extreme conservatives never acknowledge the Holy Spirit in word or deed, and I hope you're not there. But nevertheless, there is a group. They believe that the Holy Spirit only moved on the apostles, and that was it. I'm sorry, but nevertheless, that's the thought. Some people talk a lot about and boast of the Holy Spirit, but their lives do not bear his fruit. So that's another issue. So just because one might be a big proponent of the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily mean he's working in our lives. We'll go there. Others speak of the Holy Spirit in theoretical and scholarly terms. You might think that's what I'm doing now. Yet do not experiencing him at work. Well, it's possible, and that's another category. And still others ignore him for all practical purposes and rarely experience relationship or intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So we see we have, a broad range of views towards the Holy Spirit. So the tendency of people is when you have a range of views, extreme one end to extreme on the other end, to say, well, I'm going to pick a healthy balance. I'm going to go right in the middle. We do that with exercise. If you exercise too much, you hurt yourself. And of course, all your relationships suffer because you're always running and you're never home. On the other side of it, if you never exercise, you can't even get up to the TV set after a while. It's really tough. Of course, with clickers, maybe it doesn't matter anymore. So you just go to bed and never come out. So you don't want to do either of those. So you pick a moderate, middle-of-the-road thing. So is that what we do with our relationship with the Holy Spirit? No, we can't do that. We can't pick a middle-of-the-road, because what we're really talking about is the amount of intimacy and knowledge and power we have with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can never have too much of that. What we're really talking about is how much the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. You can never have too much of that. Once you experience God working in your life, you hunger for more of it. You can never have too much of that. So in reality, you do want to seek God with all your heart in the area of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. However, in practice, there's a tendency to fall, Father, Son, I got a lock on you guys. Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure. So we'll talk about that. But for me, and one other point, I know only that when you surrender fully to the Spirit, Christ will be magnified, not you. So that's another important point, is why are we seeking the Holy Spirit? Amen? I'm tired of merely talking about God. I want to see God move through me, through Living Hope Family Church, and through the worldwide body of Christ. I know there's more. We all know there's more. I want to explore with you how God has called us to more through the presence and strength of the Holy Spirit. I refuse to live the remainder of my life where I am right now, stagnating at this point. Don't get me wrong, God has already done so much in my life, and I'm grateful for it. And I could give you testimonies for a long time, but you don't need to hear that. But just know that he's done a lot for me and my family and my friends and for all of us. But that doesn't mean we're satisfied. It just means this is our starting point. I'm convinced there's more. There's more of the Spirit and more of God than any of us is experiencing. I want to go there, not just intellectually, but in life and with everything I am. And that's really my prayer for today, is may our collective desire to experience more of the Holy Spirit be our starting point. And may we open our hearts and lives to his presence and action more fully than we have ever done before. By the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, may we be different people when we finish from when we started. Amen. Let's talk about relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about where we might be starting from. If you or I had never been to a church and had read only the Old and New Testaments, we would have a significant expectation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For example, upon foretelling his death, Jesus comforts his disciples by telling them that another counselor is coming. In John 16:7, he goes as far as to say, it is to their advantage that he leaves so that the counselor can come. And Eric talked about these last couple of weeks. And in Acts 1:4-5, after his death and resurrection, he tells his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. The disciples obey because that's what people do when someone rises from the dead and gives instructions. It's a good idea. Power and relationship with Jesus, we know. Jesus' disciples had no idea what or whom they were waiting for or what it would be like. But they were expectant and trusting because Jesus had instructed them to wait for this good gift. Then in Acts 2, we see the fulfillment of this promise in a way that must have shocked the disciples. And we all know about the wind, the flames, the speaking in languages and tongues, and then Peter shares the amazing promise that this Holy Spirit is available to anyone who believes. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. This is not something that went away 2,000 years ago. The epistles tell us of the Holy Spirit's amazing power at work in us, our spirit-enabled ability to put our sins to death through him, and the supernatural gifts he gives us. If we read and believe these accounts, we would expect a great deal of the Holy Spirit in our lives, wouldn't we? However, maybe we don't see that all that much. In some churches, he's a mostly forgotten member of the Godhead whom we occasionally give a nod of recognition to. I pray that we're not there, but I also know we can grow. Amen? We can grow in the Holy Spirit manifesting himself. We would expect our new life with the Holy Spirit to look radically different from our old life without him. Amen? The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. And that, for example, any churches can operate without the Holy Spirit, just as Boy Scout troops can operate, and just as moose clubs can operate, or whatever. You can get a group of people to get together and have a good time and talk about things and take collections and pat each other's on the back and go home. And that's not what church is. What differentiates church is the Holy Spirit. Amen? That makes things supernatural. Believers live in the power of the Spirit. The evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. We need more of that. Amen. Let's talk a minute about the Spirit of God in me, because that's so important. Paul reiterates that truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You were not your own. You were bought at a price. Hallelujah, Lord. Our bodies are the Spirit's temple. If that's true, that the Spirit of God dwells in us and that our bodies are the Spirit's temple, shouldn't it be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living inside of him and the person who doesn't? Have you ever thought about the significance of having another counselor who is just like Christ? Right now, imagine what it'd be like to have Christ sitting right next to you in church. And let's say he's with you 24/7, right there. Maybe you're sitting in his lap. There isn't room next to you, not enough chairs. So put yourself on his lap right now in the chair. Wouldn't that really be neat if he were there? Imagine the peace that would come from knowing you would always receive perfect truth and flawless direction from him. That sounds amazing, and none of us could deny the benefit from having Jesus here physically, guiding and enabling us every step of the way. Those of us who believe in Jesus would never deny the truth that we have the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, living inside of us. I'm just not convinced we've internalized the truth and enjoy the blessing he intends. You know, like I said before, we have a clear vision of God in Jesus from the scriptures. The Holy Spirit isn't as clear. But it is clear that when Jesus was left, when he ascended into heaven, that he said he would send the Holy Spirit, and he did. And that Holy Spirit resides in us. If I take a step back to my walk, which is different than your walk, nevertheless, two main things I find more than incredible and more than something I would ever have any ability to ask for, because I'm not smart enough to ask for it. And that is, first one was that Jesus would send his son to die for me on the cross. If I was just living on earth in my sin, I would have no ability to even think of asking for something like that. I would probably just live in my sin and perish. But God, who loves us, knew what had to happen, knew that was required, and out of his love for each of us, he did that amazing act of love. And like I said, I wouldn't even know to ask for that, but he knew and he did it because he knows what we need. I find this second item of sending the Holy Spirit to live in us on the same magnitude or order. And that is, okay, I have now sent Jesus to wash away your sins, but you need sanctification. You need to follow me. You need to learn. You need to be comforted. You need all the things the Holy Spirit's going to do. So I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you. Wow. And I'm too dumb again to ask for that. I mean, if I were in Jerusalem, when the tongues, while they were waiting for the tongues of flame to come down, and I'm sitting there expectant, I would never have imagined that. That's beyond anything that I could, maybe you could, but I just can't get there. I would never have the audacity or the imagination to ask for something like that. But God knew what we needed. He knew we needed the Holy Spirit in us, or else we couldn't handle it. And when Jesus on the cross said it was finished, when he knew it was all done, because he knew it was what was going to play out, including the Holy Spirit coming down, He knew that it was done. We have everything we need. We have the blood of Christ to wash us clean so we can have the relationship, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. What else do you need? I mean, do you need more than God living in you?
Really?
Hallelujah. Oh, it's just awesome. So it's just like, you know, oh my gosh. And I know I've heard this before. I mean, we've all heard that the Holy Spirit's in us, but he really is in us. It's better for us that the Spirit came and I want to live like I know it's true. I don't want to keep crawling when I have the ability to fly. Amen? I don't want to keep crawling like a caterpillar when I have the ability to fly like a butterfly. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is that difference. You know, it's that metamorphosis that takes us there. Okay, so as disciples in Jesus, that relationship should be our focus. Amen? I mean, I'm not minimizing the relationships with Jesus and God. I mean, they're all three. Three are one. They are separate, but they are one. And when I say they are one, that means they are in perfect communication with each other and in perfect agreement with each other. So when you sense, we sang about Jesus, lover of our souls, I want you to know the Holy Ghost loves you just as much. Amen. And I want you to know God loves you just as much. God sent Jesus. Jesus gave everything he had for us. And the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned, but I want you to know the Holy Spirit loves you just as much. And he's in you now, loving you just as much with your interests in his heart. Amen. Why do we have trouble with this relationship? We must, because we're not all just flowing, totally sanctified in the Spirit with everything going on that you might imagine the Holy Spirit could do in us. So, and it probably isn't the Holy Spirit's fault. I mean, give the benefit of the doubt. God is perfect. He loves us. He wants everything to have happen to us that's expected. He wants us to meet our purposes in love. So what is our problem? Well, we're all different. So I can tell you what my problem is. Maybe that helps. Okay. Each of us are different, and we all know that. Each of us are a different place in our walk. The Holy Spirit in us is the same. Nevertheless, it works differently with each of us because we're different animals. We're different. You know, if you have different children, you try to treat them equally, but you can't treat them all the same because they're reacting differently to you. You punish one, you praise another. When bad, good, right? That's just the way it is. So I understand that the Holy Spirit's different in you than me. So I'll talk about me because I can't talk about you. And you're lucky that's true. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, why do I have problems with my connection with the Holy Spirit? Well, primarily it's out of fear. And let me talk about some of those fears. One is, one question you might ask, or I might ask, is do you care about what people think when they see you, or do you care more about what the Holy Spirit thinks about you? You know, we come from a fallen nature where all our lives we worried about what people thought about us, whether it be our boss, our friends, our kids, whoever's in our environment. We care what they think about us, so they think we're okay, or whatever. We all have our lives. But we do care what people think about us because we care about relationships with people. We don't list the Holy Spirit as one of those people in our lives. It's just not part of my consciousness to think about, okay, well, here's a bunch of people, but also right here is the Holy Spirit. And maybe I ought to consider the Holy Spirit as well as you. And knowing that the Holy Spirit is holy and sanctified in God and he's right here with me, not with me, actually, in me, maybe I ought to consider him at the same time. And when I don't, I know I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. Because when I don't consider him, I'm usually doing something that might offend him. You know, like some of the words I'm using, or the way I'm talking to people, when it's not lovingly, or when I want to get my way, or when I want to manipulate someone to get my way, or whatever, you know. It's all part of human nature, not a good part of it. And that's what he's trying to change. But that might cause a break in our relationship.